on, everybody? It's your buddy. It's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check. And this is your preview for Impact. Nope. TNA Hard to Kill 2024. This is going to be a lot of fun, even if it's not any good. And I don't mean that as nasty as it sounds. The return of TNA, the return of the TNA branding, and how everybody laughed about it when they said, oh, we're switching names again back to TNA, is... it's really weird, because it could be everything and nothing. This show could be an entire return to form for TNA. It could be, you know, them going back to the Impact Zone. It could be them coming through the two tubes, you know, bad guys, good guys, because they were the original ones that did that, not AEW, who had a really shit episode of Dynamite last night. Let's just be real about it for a second. We're going to break Darby Allin's neck one day. It could be that. It could be nostalgia. It could be a great way forward. It could be a... I'm not familiar with the venue. Let me see what the venue actually is. The Palms Casino Resort in Paradise, Nevada, obviously. It's not a venue I'm familiar with because I live up here in Canada. Oh, yes. But I hope it's a bigger crowd. I put out there a while ago, I hope that TNA can do a show at the Coca-Cola Coliseum up here in Toronto at some point. And for those of you that don't know, Coca-Cola Coliseum is where AEW did their first ever Canada Dynamite. It's also where WWE does their house shows. It's a cool venue. I was there over the holidays for the WWE holiday house show thing. There's so many people in, I have to get out of the habit of saying Impact now, in TNA that I want to see get a bigger stage. This is why, even though I would have much rather she come to WWE, I'll be honest, it's why I'm really happy for Deonna Purrazzo, because regardless of the company, regardless of what I think about AEW, Deonna Purrazzo was fucking awesome, and she deserves a bigger crowd, and she's going to get it, and that's awesome. Now, this could just be another Impact show with a fresh coat of paint and a new logo. Also, there is that element of it, and I don't know. The fact that that could happen makes me more happy that it's not going to happen, because if we go into this and it's awesome, then we have gotten over the first hurdle, and the first hurdle being the possibility that we could go and watch the show and nothing's different. If that makes any sense. I'm really jazzed for it. It was everything I could do to not go out and immediately be a mark and get a TNA is fucking back t-shirt, which I probably will eventually. Let's be real for a second. But, I mean, the card is crazy. It is, much like Impact, TNA is going to suffer heavily from my own Destiny Wrestling, check it off your Spaz Phoenix bucket list, it's fine, bias, because so many of these people I've formed my opinions of sitting front row in the Don Cole Love Arena for Destiny Wrestling shows. So that's going to permeate. And also, they haven't done a weekly show. They've made their announcements online. They've booked some of these matches online. They've done, like, video excerpts. And as I'm recording this right now, there is a... what do you call it? A preamble show. Instead of doing a weekly episode of Impact, which is going to be the name of the weekly show now, I think, they're doing a preview for this instead, which means we don't know what TNA Impact weekly show looks like yet, which is cool. You can kick that off on the pay-per-view, and then the following week they're doing the Snake Eyes show the next day, which is just, as far as I know, it's the next couple of rounds of tapings for the weekly shows. So I think keeping what the new TNA arena is going to look like secret and saving it for the pay-per-view is a good idea. But but it means we haven't had a weekly episode of TNA/Impact for a while, since Final Resolution, I think, because there was... you know, all the typical stuff that they do, let's wind down for the year, highlights for the year, and then wind up, let's preview the new year, and oh, by the way, we're going to be TNA again, so let's go through all these old TNA memories, which again is awesome, but it means I haven't had much to go on as far as weekly programming to preview this. So it's going to be a whole lot of, here's these people, I like some of them, here's what I want to win. The announcement was made a couple of days ago that AJ Francis, formerly known as Top Dollar in WWE, is going to be there alongside DJ Woo Kid, and they're going to be premiering their music video, We Outside, and the S is a dollar sign. Isn't that clever? I'm not gonna lie, AJ Francis, from what we've seen on social media, from what we've seen from his like charity stuff, whatever, seems like a really cool dude. So if he breaks up his musical performance and ends up having an impromptu match against, I don't know, Shark Boy or something stupid like that, I wouldn't mind that in the slightest. I'm not gonna spend too much time on the one of the selling points of this show is like, you're never gonna believe who's showing up. Because it was teased last year that potentially joining TNA would have been Will Ospreay. And I think that would have been awesome. I'm really late to the game on Will Ospreay. I'll admit that. Never saw him in New Japan because I don't watch New Japan. Never saw him in other places that he's been because I don't watch other places that he's been. He came in to AEW. You guys know what I think about AEW. You guys know what I think of Kenny Omega. But Ospreay Omega that I got to see live in Toronto last year was probably one of the best matches I saw last year. So, want to see more of him in general. I thought it would have been a really cool shot in the arm for TNA, who's the definite third brand in this whole equation. If they had been able to pick up somebody like a Will Ospreay, I thought that would have been really cool. And there's more people I want to see him. I want to see, like, Will Ospreay versus Crazy Steve. What the fuck does that look like? Now, over in AEW, that means we're probably going to get Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin at some point if Tony Khan's goons don't kill him like they almost did this week. I would have wanted to see, you know, Will Ospreay versus Kazarian would have been awesome. Will Ospreay versus Eric Young, etc., etc. It's the same as with Deonna Purrazzo. I would have loved to see her in WWE because there's a bunch of women I would love to see her go up against in WWE. Still happy for her success. Still happy for her place in AEW. Good for her. Good luck being part of that women's division, but it is what it is. So Will Ospreay would have been a cool thing. Would have been a really cool thing to happen on this show. If you're going to market your show based on, can you believe who's showing up tonight? Will Ospreay would have been one of them. I can admit that. Got to remember, Impact Wrestling is what got me into Jay White for the first time. It wasn't ROH. It wasn't New Japan. It was Impact Wrestling's version of the Bullet Club, who we're going to talk about later. That got me into somebody like a Jay White. So if Jay White wasn't in AEW, I would have said that would have been a great signing. Now, where it gets interesting is Mercedes Moné. Because I don't think they have the money that she's stretching her fingers out for. I really don't. I could be completely wrong, however. I think that her going to TNA would solve a great dilemma of mine. Because the Mercedes Moné thing, if she goes to AEW, she'll get there and she'll be put into the shuffle and people will get sick of her, and people in AEW that have people that they like will get sick of Sasha Banks the same way I got sick of Sasha Banks in WWE when all of my favorites were getting buried, etc. But the thing about it is AEW and the AEW fans and the type of people that are AEW fans, they think it's a win. They think it's a win. And I don't really know what to say about that other than Cody came back, Punk came back, Pillman Jr. came over, Nathan Frazier came over, your biggest women's project ever in Jade Cargill came over, Andrade wants to come back, Black wants to come back, Miro wants to come back. If you want Sasha Banks and we get all them back, cool. If Sasha Banks had re-signed with WWE, it would have been twofold for me. It wouldn't have been, I'm happy that she's back. It would have been a really sinister sort of schadenfreude, I don't want her, but I'm happy that you didn't get what you wanted. Because I am going to be that guy this year. I just am. But then it would have been, oh, she's back, which means everybody. Let's be real for a second. The fans would demand it, and WWE would be stupid enough to give it to them. If Sasha Banks came back to WWE, they would have Sasha Banks bury Rhea Ripley, and that's the stupidest thing in the world. Now, here's the thing. If it's Mercedes Moné showing up in TNA, solves both my problems, because AEW fans don't get what they want, which makes me happy, and I don't have to put up with her on WWE, which makes me happy, and whether I like her or not, she's a big name, and it would bring her rabid sort of cultish fan base to TNA, which will do good for them, and that will make me happy. So if it's Mercedes Moné, if it's not her, I don't know, unless there's some big name from New Japan that I'm not familiar with. And I don't want to speculate, and I don't want to be disrespectful, because I'd be speaking out of turn. I'd be speaking off my own field, so to speak. I would have loved it to be Ospreay. It would be interesting if it was Mercedes Moné. I don't know. I don't, like, it's not going to be something stupid like TNA just signed Brock Lesnar. Although that would be hilarious, because I think I want to see Brock Lesnar versus Josh Alexander, if I'm totally honest with you. But, or Brock Lesnar versus Moose. I'm talking myself into that now. All right. Anyways, enough of that. I don't know. Please, like I said, I'm putting this up a day or two in advance. Put it down in the box below. I'd love to know. For those of you that watch more companies than I do, who do you think it is going to be? Who would you like it to be? And whoever you name, tell me a bit about them if it's not somebody that I'm going to know. The belts have come out this week, and the belts look really cool. It's kind of a little bit of a risky thing to have, like, your actual belt plate design with another couple of different colors on top of the gold. I think some people are not going to like that. I like them. I like the rollouts. I think they're really good. I think the digital media championship doesn't need to exist. I'll just put that one out there right now. But Tommy Dreamer and Scott D'Amore making jokes about how Tommy's gotten a little bit chubbier in his old age and he needs the belt extender and we can get it from TNAmerch.com was a little bit of fun. Everybody, this is what I say, like, weekly shows haven't been a thing, so all the presentations of the new belts to Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin and to ABC and to Trinity, I almost called her Naomi, and Tommy Dreamer and all that. That's been a really cool thing to just sort of see peter out throughout the week. You gotta believe if they were doing weekly programming that it just would have been one massive show. Or, conversely, they could have saved it till the night and after each title match present the winner of the match with that new belt. But for somebody specifically that I'm going to talk about in a minute, that would have meant they never got to hold that title before they potentially leave. And that's, they were here, they got the company just over the finish line and never got to touch the new belt. That would be kind of unfortunate. So even if they're going to lose their titles on Saturday, they got to carry the new belts to the ring at least once. I think not having the weekly programming, and I'm going to come back to that a couple of times, I think it was a really cool, you know, today we're going to really, obviously they started with the X Division, and then I think they did the tags, and then they did the digital media, and then they did the world, and the women's tag throughout the week leading up, and it's a cool little way to advertise the pay-per-view without actually talking about the pay-per-view, because they just put the hard-to-kill tag at the end. So we've got Top Dollar performing some musical stuff. We've got a big magical announcement of somebody new that's on the roster. We've got new belts. We've got new branding. We're going to see what a TNA show looks like in 2024. I guess the only thing left is to talk about the card. And some of these are going to be quick and some of them are not. You guys know me. Rich Swann versus Steve Maclin is the first match on the pre-show. Steve Maclin is Punisher and Rich Swann is a fun guy. So either Rich Swann's going to die or he's going to sneak out with a win over the big, bad, evil Punisher looking dude. I like Rich Swann. Rich Swann, for the first time of many times I'm going to say this tonight, I've gotten to see Rich Swann at Destiny. I've gotten to see Rich Swann sitting in the front row doing, like, some of the most incredible acrobatic matches that I could imagine. Even when he wasn't particularly my guy, he sort of started winning me over. Steve Maclin, I like The Punisher. I like Marvel Netflix, John Bernthal Punisher, and Steve Maclin doesn't even hide the fact that he's trying to be that in wrestling. So if he just goes in there and smokes him, that'll be awesome. If Rich Swann gets to do some really cool, you know, aerial acrobatic type stuff, because I don't think Steve Maclin's exactly a high flyer, that'll be fun too. It'll be a nice feel good, especially on the pre-show. They do like to give you, on most shows anyway, they do like to give you some feel good stuff on the pre-show to get you amped up for the show, which might tilt it in Rich Swann's favor, but I'm an asshole, so I'm going to go with Steve Maclin on this one. leading into the holidays, I wasn't watching a whole lot of the weekly stuff when there was weekly stuff happening, so I don't know why Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers are now a team with Alicia Edwards in their corner, but I think it's more for the fact that they're taking on the TNA originals, Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian, in a straight-up tag team match. To have this be the return of TNA and have a tag team of TNA originals and that be the focus of it, and to then stick it on the kickoff is kind of a mixed message. It's a no-brainer here. Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian are going to win. I'm sure Alicia Edwards will try to get involved, and that will have almost predictable results. But, I mean, Eric Young, Frankie Kazarian, they're TNA originals on the Return of TNA show. I'm hesitant to say this because AEW just did their Dynamite Homecoming at Daly's Place, which was really shit, need I remind you. But this kind of is TNA Homecoming. So if you want to do the Homecoming for TNA, you've got a tag team match with the TNA originals, it is what it is. It's, I would compare it to when WWE did the stupid NXT 2.0 stuff, and then they did War Games with Team 2.0 versus Team Black and Gold. And it's like, you're broadcasting the conclusion there, you know, it is what it is. The last thing, and as I say, normally a big point of discussion, excuse me, a big point of discussion on most pay-per-views is why would you have a title match on the kickoff, but it's the Digital Media Championship, and I just couldn't pretend to care. I like Tommy Dreamer, I like Crazy Steve, I think they're gonna do some fucking crazy shit in the realm of, yes, this is on the kickoff, but you still need to watch it. There's a lot of space in a lot of people's hearts for Tommy Dreamer, where he can kind of do no wrong, and Crazy Steve is going to play on that with whatever sadistic thing he does. I believe that Decay have broken up. Crazy Steve, Black Taurus, and the Dead Girl Dolls, or whatever they were called. So I think it's just Crazy Steve on his own. Maybe he's playing heel. I mean, he's playing situational heel because his opponent is Tommy Dreamer. But I, with respect, I don't know how much longer Tommy Dreamer is going to wrestle. And that's the nicest way I can say it. Crazy Steve taking the Digital Media Championship. Now, they've gone a lot of different ways in TNA / Impact / GCW / you know, Owl Wrestling or whatever the hell it was for a little bit there, right back to the beginning. Like, the X Division title used to just be the X title. Could Crazy Steve take the Digital Media Championship and turn it into some kind of hardcore title? I would love to see that. I would love to see, on a night that's going to be full of, you know, we're starting a brand new chapter here, could he refashion the belt into something that it wasn't before? Because the Digital Media Championship is nothing more than Zack Ryder's Internet Championship actually brought to life. And it never really, I know why you can't have a TV title in TNA, because they don't broadcast on TV, they broadcast on stream, or they broadcast on Fight, or some people have to get it on YouTube Live, and all that kind of thing. So they're not on TV, so this was their version of that, but it just sounds cheesy. It sounds like something somebody would have done in the early 2000s when they were just wrapping their head around what the internet is. And that's bad. And even though it's TNA or Impact or whatever negative things you want to say about that company, that's not a good look for them. Part of their appeal is the fact that there's been so many times and so many iterations, you know, Bischoff came in and Hogan came in and they got rid of the Six Sides, which apparently they're gonna not bring back, which is fine because apparently it hurt the wrestlers. That's a good reason to not bring it back. But you know, Dixie Carter fucks shit up and Eric Bischoff fucks shit up and Hulk Hogan, don't you dare say anything bad about Hulk Hogan, brother. Say anything good about Hulk Hogan, brother. I mean, but you know, there were so many mix-ups and they were a punchline for so long, and then gradually you had to give the whatever the company was called at the time, you had to give them credit for just not dying. Like, I hate to put it like that, but it's absolutely true. And then they did the Digital Media Championship. If they had just gone with, like, the way that AEW has the TNT and the TBS title, they could have just had, like, the Fight title, like F-I-T-E, like where you stream the pay-per-views and whatnot, and it would have been fine. It's just, it's awkward is what it is. So I can't wait to see the match. I almost wish the title wasn't attached to it so I could just say, hey, it's Crazy Steve and Tommy Dreamer. Like, that would be better. First one listed here on the main card is a Fatal 4-Way for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. It is Ace Austin and Chris Bay, who are the champions, taking on the Rascals, Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel, taking on the team that formed in the Don Koloff Arena right before Trent Seven signed his TNA contract. It is Speedball Mountain, Speedball Mike Bailey and Mustache Mountain Trent Seven. And they are also taking on the debuting Grizzled Young Veterans. I love the Grizzled Young Veterans. I only ever saw them in NXT UK and NXT. And then in NXT, they became the Dyad with Joe Gacy. And we really don't need to talk about it. But, I mean, there's history with them and Trent Seven, obviously. The rest of them, these guys are just going to come in and brawl and rip somebody's face off. So to see a team like that going up against a team like ABC and the Rascals, who are like the high-flying, new generation, hybrid, whatever you want to call today's style, is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to go out on a limb for this. Oh, by the way, I'm thinking Crazy Steve's going to beat Tommy Dreamer for that championship. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Grizzled Young Veterans win the tag titles. On most of the promotional material, they're just called the Grizzled Young Vets. So I don't know whether that's a copyright thing or whatever. Wikipedia. There we go. Even on Wikipedia, they're referred to as the Grizzled Young Veterans. So I don't know whether that's a thing that TNA is trying to do or a thing that they have to do because maybe somebody else owns Grizzled Young Veterans. But I'm picking them to win. It'll be good. Josh Alexander is taking on Alex Hammerstone, and I have no idea who Alex Hammerstone is. And Josh Alexander was the Destiny Championship for the bulk of my tenure as a Destiny wrestling fan. I watched him beat Pete Dunne for it. It was awesome. I'm going to go with Josh Alexander more so by default, just because I don't know anything about Alex Hammerstone. It's one of those, this is my first time seeing him situations. So, again, this is where I reach out to you guys. Put it down in the box below if you're watching on Rumble or on YouTube. And if you're listening to this and on all the many, many, many audio platforms that I've got, find me on X at SpazPhoenix. And let me know who Alex Hammerstone is. Not taking shots at the guy, just don't know who he is. We have an Ultimate X, but it's a women's Ultimate X to determine the number one contender for the TNA Knockouts World Championship. It's Giselle Shaw, Zaya Brookside, Jody Threat, Tasha Steelz, Alicia Edwards, and Dani Luna. Giselle Shaw's all right. Zaya Brookside, I really liked in NXT UK. Tasha Steelz, I think, is awesome. Like, attitude-wise, her presence is great. Alicia Edwards may or may not be distracted by her involvement earlier on in the night with her husband in his tag team match. And Dani Luna, I know, is part of subculture, but I've only seen her wrestle, like, once. So, once again, Destiny, check it out for Spice Phoenix Bucket List. It's fine. I'm going with Jody Threat because Jody Threat is really fun, really awesome, and probably made for a match like Ultimate X. I really like Jody Threat. I do. You may have seen her back when Dark and Dark Elevation were a thing and AEW came to Toronto. She was in a couple of Dark Elevation matches along with Alexia Nicole, another standard bearer at Destiny Wrestling right now. If you haven't seen Alexia Nicole, the Bionic Woman, check her out. She's fucking awesome. No dig at anybody else in the match. Like I say, Zaya Brookside, be cool to see her get something. Tasha Steelz, Alicia Edwards, Dani Luna. I'd love to see any of them, realistically. But, I mean, bias kicks in, and I'm going to go with Jody Threat. It is what it is. I don't know why this is happening. Dirty Dango with Alpha Bravo and Oleg Pudrius are taking on PCO. Now, Dirty Dango is Fandango, or is Johnny Curtis. He's like slimy scumbag guy. He is like proto Lexus King, unless something drastically has changed since the last time I saw him. Don't know who Alpha Bravo is. As I say, I need to do a better job at keeping up with things. But Oleg Prudius, for those of you that don't know, is the former Vladimir Kozlov and the dude is fucking huge, and the fact that he's in the corner of Fandango makes me laugh. Now Dirty Dango's gonna come out there, be a slimy asshole, do all of his slimy asshole things, and then PCO's gonna PCO all over him, and I go to my cut and paste response for a PCO match. It's gonna be hardcore, whether it's marketed as hardcore or not, and I love the fact that wrestling has a genuine Frankenstein character. That's a thing. When they did the thing on NXT with Von Wagner, when he had his head all busted up and shit, it's like, oh, are we going to rebuild him? Is he going to have bolts in his neck? Are they going to bring him back at Halloween Havoc as a Frankenstein character? And I just said, well, no. TNA has wrestling's Frankenstein. They just do, and it's awesome. It shouldn't work. This is why wrestling's awesome. It absolutely shouldn't work, but it does. You know what else works? If you want to talk about TNA, you want to talk about history, you want to talk about history of TNA, it starts and ends with the X Division Championship. X Division Championship currently held by Chris Sabin, being defended in a triple threat match. And they've even said it this week, the most famous match, or the most loved match, or the favorite match of all time of anybody that follows TNA is that one triple threat match that we all know about, or at least we think we all know about, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe. Now, what I think about AEW aside, congratulations to Samoa Joe. He's the new AEW champion. Let's see what he does with that. Unfortunately, they're sticking him with Hangman Page, which nobody really wants, or it's not good. Hangman Page isn't good. He's just not. Like, he's got a match next week again, defending that title against Hook, and I'm more interested in that than I am against Hangman Page. But I'm even more interested in Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal, just to piss off Tony Khan and his weird Twitter tirades. Jinder Mahal and Seth Rollins actually has history, because they were in the finals of the very first tournament to crown the very first NXT champion. So long-term storytelling, Tony. Look it up. And while you're looking it up, try to put more than one women's match on the card. Chris Sabin defending against El Hijo del Vikingo, who I only know because of AEW, I'll be fair, who's awesome, high-flying, crazy guy, kind of looks like he's from Game of Thrones, but that's okay. And one of the first announced signings after TNA became TNA, and that's Kushida. I really like Kushida. I liked him in NXT. I liked him. I'm trying to think of whether they ever did him on the main roster or not. They teamed him up for one night only on NXT with Alex Shelley to be the Time Splitters, and that was kind of cool. I like his whole Back to the Future gimmick, but I also like the fact that he never really talks about the fact that he's dressed like Marty McFly. I think that's kind of awesome. I think the three of these in a triple threat for the X Division Championship, with everything that that championship symbolizes, is going to be fucking insane. And it goes without saying, it's heavily, heavily in the lead for probably one of the matches of the night. Let's just be real for a second. I don't know what we do here. I don't know who Vikingo is technically signed with. Is he with AAA? Is he with AEW? Has he signed with TNA? And I just haven't seen it, because I don't think Chris Sabin is another TNA original, and they want to glorify them, I'm sure. But I don't think Chris Sabin, who's now, I think, on his 10th X Division title run, I don't think he needs to hold it for long. I think it'll be a cool thing. Once again, with the whole turning of the pages thing, you know, a new chapter in the history of TNA, I think it would be cool for somebody like a Chris Sabin to be the one to anoint the next, the next generation of X Division talent. Kind of like Rey Mysterio coming into NXT and giving Dragon Lee his blessing as, like, the future of Lucha Libre. Chris Sabin could have a very cool role here on Saturday, sort of crowning, like, the next generation of X Division talent. I mean, I like Kushida. Kushida's a lot of fun, so I'll go with the fun guy. But if they put it on Vikingo, like, more power to him. And again, I'll say, they didn't do very much with it when Kenny held the TNA... championship a while ago, just because it was like part of his collection and it was really stupid. But if El Hijo del Vikingo shows up on an episode of Dynamite with the X Division championship, and it gives them a chance to actually talk about TNA or the return of TNA or whatever on their platform. That would be a really nice, cool make good for how you basically used TNA's world title not too long ago. Not like Kenny Omega needed it, did he? He didn't. He really didn't. Now, here's an interesting one. Here's an interesting one for the TNA Knockouts World Championship. It's Trinity versus Jordynne Grace. Heavily, heavily shadowed over by the rumors that Trinity's contract was limited in TNA, or her contract is already up and she's doing one more match, combined with the rumors that she might be back for the Rumble. So I'm predicting, you guys know me, I don't shade away from it. I've never been the biggest fan of Naomi. I think she was in a tag team with Sasha Banks. I genuinely do not like Sasha Banks, but she was even the Matt Hardy to Sasha Banks, and that's not a good thing, is it? That being said, she's a hell of an athlete. A lot of people love her. She's got a hell of a following. Respect her for that. She just doesn't do anything for me personally. Now, the other side of the coin is Jordynne Grace, who, as a physical specimen, is fucking out of this world, and she would probably crunch me up into a tiny little ball and stow me safely in the overhead compartment. That's fine. I have no problem admitting that. But she's been champion, and she's been in the running for a bunch of the dude titles on TNA as well, which is fine. They do that. They do the crossover. They do the co-ed wrestling thing on TNA, and I think that's genuinely great. Don't get me wrong. But I think Trinity dropping it to Jordynne Grace is like, oh, so Jordan's got it now. All right, cool. Like, I don't think there's an exciting win here either way, because if Trinity retains, she's probably dropping it to somebody the next night at the taping or something like that. So that's like, okay, so we've postponed the inevitable slightly. Now, if she held on to it and then dropped it, as I say, to somebody like a Jody Threat, or a Ziya Brookside, or a Tasha Steelz, then yeah, there's a story there. But I feel like it's like, okay, Trinity didn't lose it yet, or she did lose it, and Jordynne Grace is taking another turn with it. I'm sure the match will be great. Trinity's really athletic. Jordynne Grace is a fucking powerhouse. She basically has rip-off Scott Steiner music, which I'm all here for. Her husband's a little weird. We don't need to go there. He's not on the card. It's fine. But there's no exciting outcome here either way. And Deonna Purrazzo's not on their roster anymore, so I really don't know where they're going from here. I'm sorry. I hate to be down on it, because it's like, oh, you know, Spaz is excited about everything except the women's match, eh? I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm excited about the women's Ultimate X match. It's all good. Yeah, I don't know. You guys got to tell me what you think of that, about that one as well. Are you behind Trinity? Are you behind Jordynne Grace? Are you waiting for Trinity to show up at the Rumble as Naomi? Does that tie into the Sasha Banks stuff? Is it a case of maybe Trinity's leaving and Sasha comes in? Who knows? I'm pretty sure there'll be a ships passing in the night moment if that does happen. And like I say, that'll be cool for some people. And don't get me wrong. Let me say it right here, right now. There's people that I'm not down for. Like Sasha Banks, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Trinity, whatever. They're not for me, but they have cult-ass followings out there. And when something happens for them, it makes you happy. I'm happy for you. I ain't in it. That's all I'm saying. Alex Shelley versus Moose is your probably the main event for the TNA World Championship. Oh, sorry, I should have said Jordynne Grace is getting this title shot because she won the Call Your Shot gauntlet match not too long ago, and Moose is cashing in his Feast or Fired briefcase against Alex Shelley. I think this is going to be more the case of Alex Shelley's really fast, Moose is big but he's slow. I don't think there's any reason why we need to put that title back on Moose. He had the title for quite a bit. Remember when he was holding, like, he couldn't get the Impact Championship as it was at the time, so he just carried around the old TNA belt, and then he did win the Impact title, so he carried around both of them, and that's why Kenny Omega carried both of them, and the AAA seatbelt looking thing, and the AEW Championship. Fucking put it all in the bin. Put it all in the bin. Alex Shelley has that new TNA world title. It looks great. I'm really, really happy for somebody that I saw, I don't want to say stuck, but sort of relegated to the X division, relegated to the tag team division. I didn't predict seeing Alex Shelley as the world champion. I'm not going to lie. I'd like to see how that goes a little bit more. Kind of the opposite of how I see Chris Sabin. Alex Shelley versus Chris Sabin is going to happen at some point, and it's going to be the Motor City Machine Guns explode. Maybe we do that. Maybe come back to Toronto and do that. Maybe come back to Toronto and do that in the Coca-Cola Coliseum in front of a huge-ass audience that these stars deserve. This is what I say. Even the ones that are not particularly for me, like your Giselle Shaws and your Jordan Graces and your Trinities and your... I'm sorry, but Brian Myers. There's a couple of other... Like, even the ones that are not for me, like, they're still great fucking talents. And I stick to my initial thought of I want to see the size of this crowd on Saturday. I don't know this venue that they're at. I'm going to look up, once again, the Palms Casino Resort. I don't know how many people that place holds, but I hope it's more. They did Rebel here in Toronto, which is basically a club where they put a ring in the center. And that was a lot of people to fill a club, I suppose. And then they did the Don Koloff. And like I say, the Don Koloff is the home of Destiny Wrestling. But it's not a big place. And I say that with every ounce of respect in my body. I would love to see TNA come back to Toronto. I would love to see them fill the Coca-Cola Coliseum. And I know that sounds weirdly specific for me to keep saying, but I really hope it's true. Hell, I would love to see a Scotiabank Arena, but step one, step two. You know what I mean? This is a really cool sort of turning point thing. They've gone back to being TNA. What does that mean? Does that mean they're bigger? Does it mean they're better? Does it mean that the show is going to be as flashy as those new belts? Does it mean they've got a brand new talent? And maybe they are somehow going to steal Will Ospreay from AEW. Maybe they are going to get Mercedes Moné in there, and a lot of other people that are not me are going to be really happy. Like I said, there's that one sliver of doubt that it could just be another Impact show with a new logo slapped on it. But when it's not that, it'll be fucking awesome. I'll be watching on Saturday. I'll be following it on social media on Saturday. You guys can follow me on X or on Instagram at SpazPhoenix. I really, really hope you do. If you like this video, if you want me to do more TNA-related stuff now that TNA is back, I'd love to hear that feedback as well, because I sort of was in and out with the Impact stuff, but TNA being back and the feeling being back and basically getting everything back but the six-sided ring, which is entirely understandable, is awesome. And if there's excitement for it and if there's interest in it on this channel, I will do it. Because, I mean, we've got WWE, but we really do need an alternative, don't we? I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to each and every last one of you later. But for right now, I am tagging out. Bye.